Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 3. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." This is the text. On Friday, being January 6th, the church marked the day of Epiphany. Unless, of course, you're in Russia, then it was Christmas, as the Orthodox Church has a little bit different calendar than we do in the West. We commemorate that day as the coming of the wise men and the beginning of this season where we see Christ revealed to the world. And historically, the first Sunday after the day of Epiphany, we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, which really is an overlooked major event in the life of the church year calendar. This is one of the higher feasts of the church calendar, and you know that for several reasons. First of all, I'm wearing white. Whenever I'm wearing white or red, that typically is that marks a very big event happening. But even the proper preface, which is part of the communion liturgy, has a special one for this day. And there's only a couple days in the church year that have their own individual proper preface. And so it's, this is a big event, and for good reason. This day, that we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, it marks the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth. And in the weeks to come, we're going to hear about Jesus preaching and teaching and certainly his miracles as an epiphany is when something is revealed to you that was once hidden or that you had not seen or noticed. And as we see the events of Christ's life unfold through the words of Scripture, as he revealed himself to the world, the first of those events in his adult life was his baptism by John. And we look at this event and we see how it changed the world. Water has a way of changing things dramatically. Water is life. And when you look out at, I think of being in Israel, in the wilderness, in these areas where there was zero green things, and it was just rocks and dirt. What was lacking was water. But we also see that water can be an overwhelmingly destructive force through a flood or a tsunami or a hurricane. I mean, thankfully, here in Quincy, floods are the only things that we really have to worry about in that regard. But as a community, you know all too well of the destructive power of water. As we consider Christ's baptism and our own baptism, we are reminded of the life-giving aspect of water and the destructive nature of water. And when you combine God's word with water, you see both sides. As in baptism, our old Adam drowns and dies and is defeated. And we are washed clean of all of our sin and raised to a new life in Christ. We see this happen through water being joined with the Word of God. And as we ponder Jesus' baptism, given that we understand that baptism is for the washing away of sin, it is a little puzzling as to why he both desired to be baptized and how this would bring about righteousness. Well, I'm currently teaching 5th and 6th grade religion at St. James School this trimester. And as we're going through the life of Christ right now, it was the last lesson right before Christmas break was the baptism of Jesus. And one of the girls in the class raised her hand and just said, Jesus was perfect, never sinned, he's the Son of God, why did he need to be baptized? And it was a perfect segue into, of course, what we wanted to talk about. It was like I planted her in the classroom there. But you know, John's baptism, it was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Well, Jesus certainly did not need forgiveness. He was blameless of any personal sin. But he was not innocent. What happens at his baptism is that he ceases to be innocent and becomes guilty of all of our sin. Martin Luther calls Christ's baptism a beautiful, glorious exchange. Our Lord does the will of his Father in heaven, and he takes upon himself all the sins of the world, none of which he had committed, but so that he could wipe them away, wash them away from our lives. In his baptism, he accepts his role as scapegoat for all of mankind. He was now going to be the one blamed for every sin that you and I have ever committed. He was the one who was going to be held accountable. He was the one who was going to have to pay for those transgressions. Our sin was paid for with Christ's blood on the cross. And now he has clothed us in his righteousness, placing his perfect righteousness and holiness on us in our baptism. This is what happens in baptism. His righteousness gets placed on us. Our sin gets placed on him. Truly, a beautiful, glorious exchange. St. Paul says, Christ became sin for us. He became the personification of sin, and the wrath of God the Father was poured out upon that sin. It was at his baptism that he exchanged his perfect righteousness for our suffering, pain, and death that we deserve. It is in his baptism, in this Epiphany event, that Jesus' true nature is revealed, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Savior of the world who was promised to Adam and to Abraham and to David. As soon as John baptizes Jesus, God the Father speaks from heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." He is revealed to the world as the Son of God. Father in heaven is not simply well pleased because, well, Jesus gives the example of baptism and this is what you're supposed to do. He was not making some symbolic gesture so that the disciples could, you know, go and do likewise. But rather, the Father in heaven was well pleased because the Son whom he loved had willingly accepted the humiliating, painful task set before him, to drink the cup of suffering that he would drink. The Father in heaven is well pleased because the Son whom he loved had changed places with the children of Adam, whom he also loves, you and I, so that the sin is no longer on us, but rests solely upon the shoulders of the only begotten Son of God. And as St. Paul tells us, our old self was crucified with him, and our sin was buried with him in baptism. The only way that God our Father could get us back was to offer his own son as a sacrifice. The law had to be fulfilled. The second Adam had to fix what the first Adam broke. On the day of his baptism, Jesus willingly traded places with you and me. He put our sin and guilt on himself, and he has now placed his righteousness on us, so that we are here before our Lord, blameless in his eyes. Truly a beautiful, glorious exchange. The forgiveness of sins, it is real. Whatever guilt you think you still carry, and whatever it is that burdens your conscience, burdens your mind, know that that sin was taken off of you and placed on Christ, and you live under the grace of your baptism. It was placed on Jesus, and he carried that to the cross to be buried with him, never to rise again. Those sins are now paid for, and we are free from our guilt. Thanks be to God. Our salvation is complete in Christ. And I've already announced that to you today in the absolution. You've heard the words of Jesus spoken by me. I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that name into which you were baptized. There is nothing that you can do that would make you more forgiven than you are right now. Salvation in Christ is complete. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, he walked away from his baptism carrying your sins and the sins of the whole world. Jesus said to John, "It is fitting for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." And on the day that you were baptized, you began your new life in the righteousness and innocence of the Son of God himself. Thanks be to God for this beautiful, glorious exchange. Amen.